again there, folks. In recent years, I've actually begun to enjoy the onset of winter because it gives me an excuse to push the boat out and buy a half-decent bottle of whiskey. In fact, each year for the past 4 years, after the last day of work, when we break up, when it's out of the way, I'll head to a shop and spend about £30 on a bottle of good whiskey, my little treat to myself. I mean, that's relatively cheap, but it's a good enough bottle of whiskey for me. My old man got me into whiskey about 10 years ago at Christmas because he pointed out that you don't actually drink whiskey, you sip it, then admire the notes and flavours as you get that nice burning sensation going down your throat and into your chest. But what I found odd was the way my dad would describe drinking whiskey. He wasn't just having a drink, he was taking a trip to the glens. Or he was imagining the eagles screaming above the highlands and all of this. It wasn't just a drink, it was an experience. And then you get all the fancy patter and blurb on the bottles, and it comes in a very nice packaging. Even a moderately priced bottle of whiskey just oozes class. A decent bottle of scotch is sold on where it came from, so a Jura or a whiskey from a coastal distillery will tell you that you can taste the notes of the salty air and that the northern winds off the coast of Scotland add some freshness to the blend. A distillery in the Highlands will focus on the peat. It has an earthy taste and aroma and is heavier on the palate, they'll tell you. Lovingly shot photographs of streams and misty mountains at tops or old bridges are the order of the day in all of the promotional material. Whiskey isn't a drink. It's an experience. It's a trip. Now, I should say here that a while back I got involved in a debate with somebody, and his point was that all of this is nothing more than a clever marketing gimmick. And that's certainly true, but what is it they're selling, and why does it work? In theory, what they're selling is a drink, and if it was just a drink, then a bottle of Talisker could be sold in a transparent plastic bottle with a black sticker on. But what they're doing is selling an experience. What they're doing is taking men out of the modern world, not just the sense of getting drunk, but in the sense of opening a window to something else. First of all, though, we have to understand where we are now. In the first part of the 20th century, many philosophers and thinkers looked very critically of the rise to dominance of technology and the industrial age, beginning with the Industrial Revolution itself. Western man's relationship with nature changed to the point where the natural world was seen only in terms of being a resource or a quantity to be stored. According to thinkers such as Martin Heidegger, the dominance of technology over everything deworlded Western man. The average person today is woken up by an electric device that then gets up, puts on an electric kettle before going to work. The coffee they drink was imported using mass transit, and then at work they will sit in an air-conditioned cubicle and engage in moving or shifting products, resources, people around. That's their job. Everything is reduced to the status of a number or a digit, a quantity, including people themselves. Now we have human resources. Even time itself has become a set of numbers which rules people's lives. This has a feedback loop of imprinting itself in how people then view the world around them. Heidegger talks of generations of a family of woodcutters in the forest. And you may think that this is the natural world, that even today they would be in tune with Mother Nature. Well, the earlier generations would have been. Well, in fact, today's generation of woodcutters represent a corporation who may produce paper. The woodcutter is of modernity and is there to manage the woodland. He isn't of it in an organic way, he has complete mastery over nature. The question then arises of whether or not man has mastery over technology, as they say in one of the Matrix movies, we can smash the machines, but then we all starve to death. And so we're stuck in a mode of seeing the world in terms of numbers, like a machine or like a computer does. Another example of this today would be these awful wind turbines popping up everywhere. What's been revealed is the wind as another source of energy. but what's been concealed is the aesthetic and poetic nature of the landscape which they dominate. Heidegger viewed the creation of the hydro dam on the Rhine as nigh on a crime against humanity. The Rhine has shifted from a mythical aspect of the German landscape and psyche, a source of wonder and beauty, into a standing reserve of energy to power machines. And more importantly, people viewed it that way as well. The quantification of everything imprints itself on the minds of people and informs how they then view the world. And here we begin to see the scale of the problem. The technological society is at war with an aesthetic and spiritual understanding of life. People then use the modes of thought within that frame to criticize it, and of course it doesn't work. But there are gaps in the system where light shines through, and that takes us back to the Highlands and our tumbler of whiskey. Here we go back once again to a world of water, wind, soil, wood and fire, all elements which dominated life before the rise of technology and the reign of quantity. The way whiskey is sold and promoted, even thought about by whiskey drinkers, is an outright rejection of the technological age and the frame used to view, understand the world and view the world. And men will pay handsomely for it. For what? For what Heidegger might have called a clearing, a return to authenticity and meaning in an aesthetic sense. What we are looking at is an ideal, a vision into a better way of being in the world, one that's embedded back in nature. It is the poetic ideal breaking through the grid. And so isn't aesthetic idealism the way to beat the modern world? Can we open up more cracks so more light can flow in? Can it be politicized? The problem that I have with so much discourse on the right is that all framing is done within the paradigm of rationalism and materialism. More facts, more numbers, but never an actual ideal. This is despite the fact that everywhere we look today in the modern world, we're surrounded by the failures of the modern world to give meaning and authenticity to people's lives. So maybe a return to an aesthetic, romantic, poetic vision is the way to beat the modern. Heidegger certainly thought so, and it's worth considering. So thanks for listening, folks, and I'll catch you later.